America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I want to talk to you today about our struggle, our ongoing struggle as Christians with the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Bible talks about all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And do not love the world nor the things in the world. Now, Paul, in his discussion in Romans, says in Romans 6 that we are dead to sin. And then in Romans 7, he talks about the fact that although we're dead to sin on paper, we still deal with the flesh. He says this in beginning in verse 14 of Romans chapter 7, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I'm doing I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." He goes on to say, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Well, to help me in this very important discussion, because every Christian knows what it's like to battle internally with knowing what you want to do, what you need to do, what the Lord says to do, and battling your flesh in wanting to do the opposite. And so to help me with this discussion is my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. Dr. Schroeder is the teaching pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And he spends a lot of time in the counseling office helping people through difficulties in the Christian life. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I mean, we all struggle. We all have sin. So this is the Apostle Paul, which could be considered one of the greatest Christians of all time.
Yes.
And even he is saying that he struggles with this sin with the flesh. Mm-hmm. I almost said sin nature, but he doesn't say sin nature. He says the flesh.
Right.
You know, so we've always got this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And even Paul is talking about this battle.
Yeah, there's some people that don't like to say we have a sin nature because that has been cut off. But I do have a poem that talks about that. I heard it even yesterday on American Family Radio from David Jeremiah. "Two natures dwell within my breast. One is foul and one is blessed, one I love and one I hate, but the one I feed will dominate." Now, whether that's a nature or just the flesh, the Bible doesn't call it a sin nature, right. It calls it the flesh.
I think when you say, it's a great discussion, but when you say sin nature, I do think that that kind of denotes a sickness. And you know, a sickness is something that
I'm not responsible for.
Exactly. You don't have responsibility. But Paul talks a lot about the battle. And so I like that language better, because then you've got a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of like the cartoon, you know, with the angel on mm-hmm. one shoulder and
right.
the devil on the other shoulder. That's what Paul talks about a lot. So if you just had a sin nature where you just can't help it, you know, it's like mm-hmm. psychology today. It's just a sickness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a choice. It's just, I just got a sickness. You know, I just had, you just label it and I can't do anything about it.
Right.
So I do like more the language of flesh and spirit that Paul uses here.
You know, Chris, it's interesting to me. I've been a Christian now for a long, long time, since I was 17. I'm 64. you go into the Christian life, if you can think back as a listener, you think back when I first got saved, there's excitement, everything is new, I want to live for the Lord, I want to please Him in all respects. Those are good things. But as I shared last week when I was talking to Mike Courtney, also a counselor, Dr. Mike Courtney, you know, it's like the Israelites when they came into the Promised Land, they're winning battles, driving out the Canaanites, but then they couldn't drive out a particular group because they had iron chariots. And there are those sins in our lives that are more stubborn and more difficult to defeat than others. Now, in your own life and in your counseling ministry, do they get the wrong idea? I mean, sometimes we can say, well, good night, I ought to be able to defeat everything. Everything ought to just fall because now I'm in Christ. But some of those things are not easy to defeat.
Yes, I have a lot to say about that. That's a great point. So we have, maybe they call it a pet sin, like mm-hmm. your pet sin. You've got to be careful that you don't have the mindset that I've got this one sin in my life, and once I defeat that sin, then I'm good.
Right.
You got to be careful of that mindset. And a good word, we use this in Celebrate Recovery, it's a great word, is a hang-up. So we have hang-ups. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like narratives, you know, that we tell ourselves, like, oh, this is my sin, this is what mm-hmm. I struggle with, this is what I believe. And a lot of times it's a lie.
Right.
A lot of times it's not a truth. It comes from the evil one. Mm-hmm. And so we have what we call character defects. We all have character defects because we do live in a fallen world, a sinful world. Mm-hmm. So they come from our family of origin, you know, our parents, our upbringing, because sinful people raising sinful people. You could have had really godly, good parents, but everyone falls short, as Paul says. And then your environment, the environment that you're in a sinful environment, you're around sinners, you know, mm-hmm. we're around broken sinners. And then our choices, the choices we make. And we, like a lot of times people come into counseling, they've made a series of bad choices.
Right.
And now they're wanting to get out of it, but it's probably going to take a series of good choices
right.
to get to a better place. So we all have these character defects. So being aware of that area where Satan hits you, then you could also get into like generational things, you know, mm-hmm. where Satan will hit your father with a certain temptation, mm-hmm. he'll hit you with that same temptation. When he sees that something works, his playbook, he'll stay with the same playbook.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think we do have these pet sins, if you will, these things. You talk about like the power, power, pride.
Oh, the three things.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 17:17. Deuteronomy 17, where the Lord says the king has to watch out for money, sex, and power.
Money, sex, and power.
Those three areas take uh-huh. down more people, especially men. Mm-hmm. I don't think, and this is changing, but most of the time women, because they're not visual, sexual immorality is not a driving force. You don't see a woman seeing a man on the street corner and let's just have sex. Where a man will do that with a prostitute on the street corner.
I think the woman is different because, yeah, you're right, it is changing. The statistics show that it is changing. The addiction to pornography is growing for mm-hmm. females. But I think it's these novels, these...
romance novels.
I don't want to be trash novels, but like romance novels that mm-hmm. hit on the emotions mm-hmm. and they're unrealistic. They're very unrealistic of portrayal of men. And so that... you know, fulfilling these kind of fantasies. So it's not visual and physical like it is for men, but it's the emotional
right.
component. And so those novels, that addiction to those novels, and it's not maybe seen as, in a way, as pornography for men, but
right.
I think it has just the same effect.
Yeah. You would not see, I mean, something would have to be really off on a woman to just be driving down the street and see some guy on a street
right.
corner, hey, will you have sex with me? I'll pay you $100.
Yeah, that's probably not super common. That is probably, you know, that definitely exists, but it's not as common as
right.
men,
yeah.
I think.
Well, so I think, you know, and Romans 7 is disputed, obviously. Some people say, well, that Paul is talking about himself as a Christian. Some say, no, he's talking about himself before he was a Christian because now he just lived in the Spirit in Romans chapter 8. But I haven't found that in my own life. I've found that the, you talk about dealing with the devil, you resist the devil and he will flee from you. But when you deal with the sins of the flesh, you flee youthful lusts. Mm-hmm. I heard one pastor say, that's interesting that you stand firm against the devil, but when it comes to being tempted lustfully, as Joseph was with Potiphar's wife, that you have to run away from it.
Well, I always ask people, who is your greatest enemy? You know, we know that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion looking mm-hmm. for someone to devour. We know that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that he is a foe. He's an enemy. But I would say that our number one enemy is not Satan. Our number one enemy is self. Mm-hmm. You know, you look in the mirror, that's your greatest enemy. And mm-hmm. you know, I know I've heard you say it. I've used it before. You add an H, flip it around. Right. You know, it's the flesh. So that is the greatest enemy. Mm-hmm. It's our own self-talk. It's our own narrative. It's our own, we are our own worst enemy. I have a quote, Walt Kelly said, we have met the enemy and he is us.
Right.
You know, so I think that we are our own greatest enemy.
You know, you think about that in the millennial kingdom, when the devil is defeated and put into the abyss for 1,000 years, so he can no longer deceive the nations. The Lord is king. He sits on the throne. You can go see him. You still have sin, and it's not blatant, because he's going to deal. He rules with a rod of iron. But people, unregenerate people that are in the kingdom, they still have the flesh, and the flesh is still an enemy. Mm-hmm. They're not going to act out on the flesh. Nobody's opening up a pornographic bookstore in the millennial kingdom, but they'll still have lustful thoughts that they deal with, and bitterness, and all those things that we deal with.
Yeah, and that's why Paul tells us to make our body a slave. You know, make our body, take control, the spirit to take control of the flesh. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's a good reminder, you know, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in us than mm-hmm. he that is in the world. And so you have a powerful spirit within you. I always saw Romans 7 as Paul talking about what he's currently struggling with, and then that helps us to relate, because we all have this battle, and it really is what's the inside versus the outside. Mm-hmm. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit inside of you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, then you're just giving into the flesh.
Yeah, you have nothing. And if you can, if you're a super disciplined person, as it says in Romans 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. And it says this, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. God hates the flesh, because the flesh is against God. It's pride. It's, I'm going to do it my way. It's Cain versus Abel. Cain coming his own way and then getting angry at the Lord because he didn't accept his sacrifice. God will never accept anything in the flesh. And you know, Chris, we have people that think if I do well in the flesh, then God will be pleased. And he won't, because our righteous deeds are like a filthy rag before God. Anything done in the flesh is repulsive to him.
Yeah, so we have to decrease, and so that he will increase.
Yes.
And so inside is a roaring lion, is the power is inside, the spirit is inside. While we're in this world, while we're in this sinful place, we still carry around this sinful flesh.
Right.
The Adam suit. That's what some people say. It's called an Adam suit.
Well, one of the things I love about Celebrate Recovery at our church, and just the ministry in general, is it forces people to get honest about, hey, I do have struggles. Just a human nature. We want to put fig leaves on ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't want to expose our nakedness, not even to the Lord, but definitely not horizontally to other people.
Yeah, so there was a lady yesterday in our church that went up to Rochelle. This lady's in her 80s, and she said something that I had said at a senior adult about confessing to one another, and she had never really thought that much about that. And she said, I need to confess some. And this is like a really godly lady in our church.
Yeah.
And she just never thought of that concept.
Yeah.
And it's coming from James 5:16, that healing comes through confession.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness comes from the Lord. That's the forgiveness we need, not from a priest or any other person.
Right.
But healing comes when we confess to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have things to confess. We all have hurts and hangups and habits in our life.
Yeah, we sure do. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And Dr. Schroeder got his doctorate from Liberty University in counseling, biblical counseling.
Pastoral counseling.
And that was last year?
Oh, man. 2022, I think.
Has it been that long?
Time's flying.
Man. And Chris has the book, The Marriage Resurrection, that he and his wife Rochelle wrote. Very, very helpful, very practical. So we're talking about Romans 7 and the battle within, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Well, the Lord sets us free and we can walk in the Spirit. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. I want to ask you, what are you doing April 2nd through the 11th in 2027? You say, well, that's way off. Well, Dr. Chris Schroeder and I are going to be leading a trip to Israel, April 2nd through the 11th, 2027. And we would love for you to join us as we walk where Jesus walked. Visiting the land of Israel is truly a trip of a lifetime, and so we would count it a great blessing and privilege if you would honor us by joining us on this great trip. You can find out more information by going to fromhisheart.org, fromhisheart.org, and just click the link titled Holy Land 2027. You can get all the particulars, and you can email us if you have a question about something. We would love to help you with that. Chris, this will be your first time to go.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I just hope it happens. I'm so excited.
Well, you know, we're always at the mercy of geopolitics and conflicts and all those things. I surely things are going to start calming down. Iran, to me, as I've said with Rod Martin on the program and others, there's the famous Monty Python scene where the guy is battling and he gets his arm cut off and another arm cut off and a leg cut off, another leg cut off. And he's like, it's just a scratch. I can keep going. And
that's Israel's mindset.
Well, that's Iran.
Yeah, definitely.
They're just,
we're okay. We're all right.
Yeah, we're doing great here. It's like Baghdad Bob when we were at war with Iraq, and he was saying, "Oh, we're doing great." And you see the tanks rolling through behind him. It's like, yeah, I think you're lying, Baghdad Bob. So anyway, go to fromhisheart.org, and you can find out more about Holy Land 2027, April 2nd through the 11th. We're going to have a great time. Well, we're talking about Romans 7, about the Apostle Paul's discussion concerning, we both believe, concerning his own life as a believer and his battle with the flesh. The good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing, because as Galatians 5 says, but I say walk by the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now, Chris, if we think about that, the things that we please, our flesh wants to get revenge. Our flesh wants to lust. Our flesh wants to overindulge. Our flesh wants to just be the boss and do whatever we want. Be selfish, be greedy, all those things.
Yeah, and that's why I think that we have to starve the flesh. We can't just, moderation doesn't work. You tell someone that's an alcoholic, just, why don't you just, you know, drop it down to moderation.
Right.
That's not going to work. They have to starve the flesh. And, you know, alcohol and drugs, that's a big one, but food, mm-hmm. you know, pornography, your phone, the TV, there's all kinds of things that we're addicted to that we, that our flesh desires. And so sometimes we do have to starve the flesh to mm-hmm. say, I'm going to take a period of basically fasting. I'm going to get away from this so that it doesn't have control of my life. I'm going to basically show this thing who's boss.
Yes.
And the spirit is the boss, not the flesh.
Yeah, I heard this from Bob Lapine one time. I was off one Sunday, this was several years ago, went to his church, Redeemer Church there in Little Rock. And he said, we like to manage the flesh.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us you have to mortify the flesh. You have to put it to death.
Yeah.
The flesh is not your friend. You can't manage cancer.
Right.
You have to eradicate cancer from your body. Because if you let it stay, it's going to kill you.
It's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and then it's going to take over.
Yeah.
It's going to take, you know, I think you've used that illustration before. You give it a room in the house, eventually it's going to take over the whole house.
Yeah, there was a little saying that about how sin works. First the man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man.
Yeah.
And Chris, as you've dealt with people in CR, a lot of times it's alcohol and drug related, but it's a lot of other things. And really anybody can go to CR. I mean, we all struggle with hurts, habits, and hangups. But there are certain kinds of things that we can get involved in that really take their toll quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think alcohol, drugs, gambling, those mm-hmm. things can really sink your ship in a short period of time.
I agree. But I do think that pornography is underplayed, because I think that they call it the silent killer in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's doing more damage than we realize,
yes.
especially because the percentage is so high. You know, they say it's like 66% of men have addiction to pornography. And I think it's equal to inside the church and outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's doing a lot of damage that we can't equate, because it's in the darkness. It's done in darkness.
Right.
Just like someone having an affair, you know, having an adulterous relationship, it's being done in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so where drugs and alcohol are very much more difficult to hide.
Are harder to hide.
Yeah.
Although some people have hidden that pretty well.
Functioning.
You know, Chris, when we think about like workaholics, you know, you have alcoholics, you have workaholics. One, Debbie and I had this discussion not too long ago. If you're a workaholic, it's almost like people admire you
yep.
for that. Hey, I work 65 hours, 70 hours a week. Look at what a dedicated employee or boss that I am.
Where you really see that, I believe, and we don't talk about it enough, it's something that I'm passionate about, is you see it in the church. So some of our best workers are probably the most unhealthy people.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you get to the judgment seat, what did you do with my son Jesus? What did you do with the gifts I gave you?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said this, I got this from you, stealing from you. Why did you do that? What was the motive?
Yeah.
I think that's huge. I think that's huge. So I think there's a lot of people that are working for the pats on the back, for the approval. They're approval addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's underneath the iceberg. We see the iceberg, we see the work, we see what looks pretty on the top, but what's going on underneath is some hangups, some issues.
Yeah, you know, Chris, in the pastorate, we can get some guys in there that are not emotionally very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We do have, you know, I'm not calling names, but we do have people across the country that are not very healthy, that are pastoring people. And a lot of times the motivation for guys, I've seen this over the years, can be those pats on the back, and they get more of that with pastoral care
mm-hmm.
than they do with preaching on a Sunday morning. And so that's what is going to dominate their time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the preaching gets starved, because if you're going to spend hours and hours and hours in people's homes, in the hospitals and nursing homes and things like that, well, there are only so many hours in a day.
I look at it like I could equate everything to sports. It's like It's like the skilled positions, like the wide receiver and quarterback. That's the hospital visits, the baptisms, the weddings, the funerals. Those are the things that people, it really touches people's hearts because you're there at those right. times, and it's very public. But the counseling with someone that no one sees, or the prep time and preaching, mm-hmm. you know, it's the things that people don't see. It's, you know, the offensive line, you don't get the glory for that, or the people that are serving in the church constantly. I can't think of things off the top of my head. Putting the bulletins out, mm-hmm. doing things that nobody sees. You know, cleaning the bathrooms, those kinds of things that don't get the praise. But that's the hard stuff that's needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really is. And you know, I had my preaching professor Wayne McDill. He told us in preaching class, guys, do not let yourself shortchange your study time, uh-huh. because on Sunday morning, you're going to be speaking to the biggest audience that you have. I mean, most people, their Sunday morning crowd is bigger than a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service or a Bible study during the week or whatever. And so he said, that's where you can hit the most people. So in pastoral care, you can minister to a few. But on Sunday morning, you can minister to the whole.
Yeah, they say in seminary, they say that the healthiest church is a pulpit-driven church. So we have a pulpit-driven church. And so you have a lot of shepherds mm-hmm. underneath you on staff, like a lot of shepherds. Mm-hmm. And so that's getting done. But the church is being led from the pulpit, because that's your gift, is, you know, right. prophecy and speaking truth from the pulpit. And yeah, that's when you have the mass of people that they tune in, or they come to church to hear, that they need to hear the truth.
Right.
They need to hear the word of God.
Well, Chris, and you know this, when a pastor really has a shepherding gift, he's probably not going to be able to pastor a church over a certain amount, because you'll die trying. I mean, one shepherd can only have so many sheep that he's personally taking care of. And some guys have a hard time backing off of that because they want to be there.
That's the Moses and Jethro situation.
Yes.
You know, Moses is trying to do it himself, and his father-in-law Jethro says, this is not sustainable. You're going to have to start delegating.
Yeah.
And so that's when leadership is
right.
needed, administration. And I mean, that's one of the weaknesses of the Bride of Christ, is the church is not equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry.
Yes.
So we right away go to the staff, and then we have all these spectators that are watching ministry take place instead of participants.
Yeah.
And when you participate in ministry, your faith comes alive.
Yes.
You know, and so we've got to turn that.
Yeah. Well, ministry is exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you see God use your life, you know, we're talking about Romans 7, dealing with the flesh. Well, one way to deal with the flesh is to jump into using your spiritual yeah. gift and serving and putting the Lord first and witnessing to people. And as we say, shine and share. Well, if you're sharing a lot, you're going to be very cognizant of the fact that, does my life match up to this?
Well, our tendency is to be selfish. And even in this text, you know, the great Apostle Paul, there's a lot of selfishness. We see a pattern, several times you see I, me, mm-hmm. myself. You see that several times in this passage. And so every time we start just getting so inward focused, that's when we of what we're called to do. That's why Jesus concludes with the Great Commission, mm-hmm. to go and make disciples. Go out, get your eyes off of yourself. And I always pray, God, help me to see the needs around me, to have open eyes and not just look inward at self.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, I know in counseling, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is a very key passage of scripture. The weapons of a warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. When people get hung up in a particular sin, typically, and you mentioned this earlier, they believe lies about that.
Yeah.
Or they have accepted that into their person. I am this thing, and I can never change. And, you know, I've tried to change, I can't change. And, you know, I feel for people like that, because it can be very discouraging, whether it's Maybe it's constantly comparing yourself to somebody else, or, you know, those are kind of under the radar type of sins. Bitterness is a huge sin.
Resentment, bitterness, yeah.
That normally shows up in other things too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the number one jobs for us as Christians, is to protect our hearts and not let resentment and bitterness take root. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have a tendency to just focus so much on ourselves and let these sins take root in our heart. And so we have these narratives. We all have narratives that we believe and that have been maybe told to us. For whatever reason, we've taken hold of these narratives. And so the Bible says that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We can capture our thoughts. And so we have to rethink some things. And so in counseling, we're trying to help people to rethink it. Mm-hmm. And that's, looking at self, but then vertically. A.W. Tozer, the most important thing about you is what you think about God.
Yeah.
And so what are the aspects of God that are true that you believe or that you're focusing on? But there might be other aspects of God that you're not focusing on enough. Mm-hmm. So some people need to really focus on the fact that you're very selfish and very self-focused. Mm-hmm. And so you need to focus on the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. And some people are very hard on themselves and critical and so negative towards themselves. And they need to see the love and the grace mm-hmm. of God. So God is so multifaceted.
Yes.
And so, and maybe it has to do with like their family of origin, the way they see their father, you know, their parents. But having a correct view of God, having a correct view of self, and then having a correct view of God is really important.
Yeah. Well, as you know, in counseling, one size doesn't fit all. It's mm-hmm. not, I mean, we've talked about this before, Chris. Everything boils down to, will you trust God? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have all these different on-ramps, but it all hits that point, because salvation is trusting the Lord to deal with your sins. Walking with God is trusting the Lord by grace through faith. And so everything's got to go back to that, but there are different hang-ups that get you there.
Yeah, I'd say the number one theological truth that we have to understand, if I could say one, it would be the sovereignty of God. That God is in complete control, that He's in charge. Mm-hmm. You could trust Him because He has a track record of being faithful.
Yes.
And so you can trust Him, and that He's not ever caught off guard. And so He knows better than we do. And so I do believe in free will and our choice.
Yes.
And but God is sovereign. He's in complete control.
You know, I've shared this before. I was listening to it just in the last couple of days, and I think it's one of the best illustrations I've ever heard. How do you put those two together? God's sovereignty yeah. and man's free will. Obviously, the Bible teaches both. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." And then the Bible says, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And we have to put our faith and trust in Jesus. So both those things are true. And as MacArthur so wisely pointed out, just look at the scripture. It's inspired by God, but it's written by man. And who wrote Romans? Paul wrote Romans, but he didn't write it by himself. The Holy Spirit wrote Romans. And so you're like, well, who did it?
But we try and put God in a box. Mm-hmm. We can't put God in a box. No. God is holy, meaning He's separate from us. Mm-hmm. And so we will never, you know, fully understand until we see Him face to face.
Well, I even said last Wednesday night, you know, I think in heaven, you're going to, every day is going to be learning new things mm-hmm. about God, because God is infinite.
Right.
And even in our glorified state, we're not going to know God from A to Z, because He's every letter in every alphabet ever devised. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here with Dr. Chris Schroeder. And we've been talking about Romans chapter 7. And what do we do with this thing called the flesh as we battle? And how can we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And as is our practice, we like to open up the phone lines in this third segment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, we would love to hear from you. We've been talking about the Christian life. What is the Christian life really all about? Well, we are dead to sin and alive to God, Romans chapter 6. but we still deal with the flesh, and every Christian does, and the Christian life, as somebody once said, Chris, they said, well, I thought when I became a Christian, it would be the end of my problems. And as Adrian Rogers pointed out, well, it is the end. It's the front end.
Yeah.
Your problems have just begun. There are different kinds of problems now, and you're going to have problems with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You didn't really have a problem with the devil before because you were going in the direction he wanted you to go. But now you're on the narrow road that leads to life. There's a lot of resistance against you growing in the Lord.
Well, especially you have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the hound of heaven, just bringing conviction mm-hmm. is good, but it's painful, but it leads you towards repentance and then leads you to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, once you get on the other side of the cross, that's good. You have salvation, but then there's a lot of room to grow, and you'll be growing for the rest of your life. We never arrive, but we continue to grow. And we have to remind people that after Romans 7, you know, Romans 8:1 mm-hmm. says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So condemnation meaning that you are your sin, that your identity is in your sin. Paul understood that his identity was not in his sin, but his identity was in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a huge issue. So conviction is good because conviction comes from the Holy Spirit and leads to repentance and change. But condemnation leads us stuck, because it tells us that our identity is our sin. And that's what we see in our culture with people saying, this is who I am.
I am this, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to accept me. Chris, I was thinking too, in counseling, it has to be, I would think, almost all the time where you have to refer people back to who I am in Christ.
Oh, yeah.
That they have to keep hammering Ephesians chapter 1, in him, as the scripture says.
Ephesians is one of the best books to counsel through because the first three chapters talk about your positional truth, who you are in Christ. You have to understand who you are in Christ. And then 4 through 6 is how you live it out, the practice of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I'm still alive, but I'm dead, but I'm alive. You know, that you have that, as we talked about, you have that hard to understand situation. The Lord does live in me. Everything good in me comes from him, because in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. And as I walk in the light with him, I can see him do great and mighty things in my life. But if I don't, if I just talk a big game and I'm not living it out, then he knows it, I know it, and other people start to know it.
Man, theology is so important. You know, study of God, who you think of God is so, so important. So you weren't worthy, but you've been made worthy.
Right.
You know, so that worthy, that's kind of, it all hinges on that.
Right.
But it's in Christ, not in yourself, though.
Right.
But you were not worthy, because our sin, in contrast to a holy God, but Jesus made us worthy. And so you can't just keep putting him on the cross. You can't have worm theology where you're just total depravity and you can do nothing good.
Right.
Because Paul did a lot of great, you know, a lot of good.
Right. And we can please the Lord, you know,
right.
And that was his prayer in Colossians chapter 1, to please the Lord in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light.
I like to look at also, don't start your theology with Genesis 3. Start your theology with Genesis 1.
Mm-hmm.
And Genesis 1:26 says, you were created in the image of God. So that still is true. You know, sin enters the picture, but you still are, you know, created in God's image. And then Jesus gives us our total connection to God,
mm-hmm.
complete connection to God. We see who God is, and we have complete relationship and connection to God through his son, Jesus.
Amen to that. Well, you know, I remember having a conversation years ago with James Robison, who is now in heaven, and Debbie and I got to know him, and he invited us out to his place in Colorado one summer for a few days. And I was asking him about, you know, James, you know a lot of people, you know, big names in Christendom. And I said, does anybody you know not struggle with something? And he said, everybody struggles with something. You know, we talk about, as I talked to Mike Courtney about, you know, the sin which so easily entangles us. Well, it's not the same sin for every single person.
Right.
So some people struggle with substance. Some people struggle with comparison. Some people struggle with selfishness. Some people struggle with, you know, whatever it might be. We talked about pornography. I ran across this, Chris. Let me get you to weigh in on this. So I'd never thought about this before. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So he names 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. John Piper said, you know, I like to think about that as, he said, an 8-legged octopus, but it would be 9 for all the fruit. And he said, you can have some legs that are fully developed where others aren't as developed. I used to always think of it as it's either all or nothing, because if the Holy Spirit's in charge, then all those things will be present. But as I really think about it, well, there are areas where maybe we're doing really good with love and joy, but we're struggling with peace. Or maybe we're doing good with love, joy, and peace, but we're struggling with self-control. How do you see that?
Yeah, I agree. Either as a individual or in a marriage. Uh-huh. So we will have couples put that on like the refrigerator or something, put those 9, the fruit of the Spirit, and then look at it as a list and see, like, where are we falling short? Where are we not? So yeah, I don't think it's all together 0 to 10. I think each one you could categorize. Mm-hmm. Another thing I want to say with the sin is, we don't want to just pull weeds. We don't want to just see weeds and just pick weeds. Mm-hmm. We want to get to the root. And so the symptom is the pornography, the drugs, the alcohol, mm-hmm. the whatever, the gambling. Those are the symptoms. But the hangup is down into the soil. It's that root. So why? Why do I have this sin tendency? Where is this coming from? What narrative have I believed that's not true? You know, so we got to dig deeper. Mm-hmm. And I think we need each other to help to get to that depth, to get to really to the heart of it.
And that's really not easy, because people know that they know those symptoms.
Yeah.
But it's just like going to a doctor. A doctor's got to ask you a lot of diagnostic questions to figure out what's really going on. Mm-hmm. Just because you have a fever doesn't mean, well, it can only be X. There are a lot of things that could cause that fever.
Why do I do what I do? Not just what am I doing, but why? Why do I keep returning to that? I think it'd be good to just have some good self-awareness to start identifying why I keep going to that sin.
Okay, so in your experience, Chris, let's take pornography, for example. Why? What is the why for a lot of guys?
You know, a lot of guys, you'd be shocked at how young they were when it was first introduced to them. And a lot of times it's if it was acceptable in the home. You know, like if the father, like there's situations where the father introduced it to them at a very, very young age. So now that's imprinted on their brain. So that's a whole, pornography is so dangerous because it's neurological. There's a lot of neurological
that dopamine
pathways mm-hmm. that are the neurons, the way that they connect, like the deer path, you know, in the brain. Mm-hmm. And so that happens from a very young age. So that's why visual, like pornography, is so dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I like to find out, when did you start looking at the pornography? And for some guys, it's not a father, but it's maybe at school. You
right.
know, someone at school showed that to them, and that addiction has been going on for a very long time.
Okay, so Chris, as it relates to that, you know, parents of younger children, especially boys, but now it affects girls too, but how, as a parent, do you protect your child from that?
I mean, I think that sometimes you have to do behavioral things so that the heart can catch up and heal, or the heart can be protected from things. And so that's where we put up boundaries. That's where we put up guardrails, you know, mm-hmm. and so not just letting the kids be in the room with the door shut and just on their phone all the time and not knowing what they're watching, like monitoring what they're watching, because things slip in, you know, algorithms, you know, like mm-hmm. I'll be looking at my phone and something will come up, or a friend request will come up, and I don't want to explore that at all. I want to show that to my wife right away. Hey, this is just came up, you know, can you take care right. of this? If a guy already has an addiction to pornography, gotta have accountability. That's why we need each other. We can't do this alone. So Covenant Eyes is a good program, a little commercial for Covenant Eyes. They will help. That will help. But we've got to have some accountability. And for guys, accountability cannot be your wife. She's called to be your wife, not your accountability partner. Mm-hmm. So you need accountability with whatever sin that is. You need men that are speaking into your life, that are willing to speak truth into your life and ask you the question, you know, have you sinned lately?
Right,
are you
right,
struggling?
Right.
But the best kind of accountability is when you're able to go to them in your time of weakness before you've already given into that sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all these groups, like these recovery groups, and they meet together and they say, oh, I messed up again this week. I messed
up again. Right.
What good is that? So being able to have someone that you could call at any time when you know that you're walking into a temptation.
Yeah. And what would you say to the person that feels like, well, I'm the only one with this?
Oh, man. And I think that's a big one. You know, Satan will pour on that shame. So when you sin, shame is going to come. Like, that is an automatic response to sin. And shame could either be good or bad. If shame leads you to conviction, to Christ, it's good. If it leads you to the world and to more of self, then it's bad. And so don't let Satan bury you with the shame, but bring it into the light. So when you're in the dark, bring into the light. So you've got to share. You don't stand up in church and just, you know, give your testimony
right.
of sin, but find guys that you can share with. And so you now bring it into the light, and the enemy loses power when you start sharing. You start sharing your sin. Now he loses power.
Yeah.
Because he has power in the darkness of that shame.
You know, as we think about that, Chris, I think there are lots of people that, you know, what do you think of when you think of God? That's the most important thing about you, as you mentioned from A.W. Tozer. But people that are struggling with a particular sin, whether it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, sexual immorality of whatever kind.
Gambling is on the rise. Gambling is really strong right now, especially with young men.
Yes.
Especially the legalizing it in states.
Yeah, they're destroying people. But when you think about, okay, if I were to stand before God right now, he'd be so disgusted with me. Mm-hmm. I know God loves me, but I don't think God likes me very much. I think a lot of people probably live there.
Yeah. I mean, just remember Luke 15, you know, remember the story of the prodigal, and remember the father's response to the child and how enormous God's grace is, you know, and just remember that Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't let Satan have a field day with you, but fight back with the truths of God to remind yourself of who God is and who God says that you are, you know, read Psalm 139, you know, focus on your identity in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to know, I have to remind myself of this constantly, to know that God's ways are right concerning everything. Our way, you know, as he says in Ezekiel 18, where the house of Israel is saying, the way of the Lord is not right. And the Lord said, is my way not right? No, it's your way that's not right. And so we can get so full of ourselves that we think, well, I can handle this. This is right. This is what's good for me. Divorcing my wife and marrying this other girl that really floats my boat, that's a good thing. And the Lord's saying, no, that's not.
Well, that's all temporal perspective too. So having an eternal perspective, you know, we like things right away. We're fast food society, immediate pleasure. But have an eternal perspective, have an eternal focus, a forever focus, and not just, don't be a prisoner of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Chris, as we get ready to close the program, what resource would you encourage people with, something that can really help them? We talked about pornography. What would be something that would really help?
Okay, this is a plug for Heath Lambert. He's a pastor in Florida of a Southern Baptist church. There's a book called Finally Free. And it's very biblical. He's a biblical counselor. And so that one is the best one that I have found on helping guys find freedom from pornography. And there's even a chapter in there that talks to the wife of a man who struggles with addiction to pornography.
Mm-hmm.
But it hits the heart, but very grace oriented, but very spiritual, very biblical. And
yep.
So Finally Free is one that I've really thought is good.
How about for identity in Christ?
Identity in Christ, I'd say Neil Anderson does a lot of his work. He talks about identity in Christ, bondage breakers.
Mm-hmm.
He talks a lot about how the most important thing is your identity in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And Chris, thank you so much for coming on today. You can always reach me at the program, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. And maybe you have an issue that's really burdening your heart, and you need to share it. You need to confess it. You need to just get it out in the open. We would keep all that in confidence, but feel free, Pastor Jeff from His Heart, or you can call the church 903-831-6000. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.